I'm Jesse Kirsten Lankor. We have four kids, Joseph, Benjamin, Seth, Felicity. They're 9, 7, 6, and 4. And we're, Cornerstone Haiti. So as Jake briefly mentioned, I want to share a little bit of my testimony just to, again, God can do anything. Briefly, my parents were divorced, grew up in a hurting, broken home, knew about God, thought that he forgave me, so it didn't matter how I lived, and kind of started partying and chasing girls and stuff. Realized that was a lot of darkness and emptiness. When I was 20 years old, he grabbed my heart at my oldest brother's wedding. And I said yes to him, started following, and then found Cornerstone Milwaukee being planted in Milwaukee. So as a Campus Crusade student, myself, along with other student leaders, including Michael and Annie's daughter, we began Cornerstone Milwaukee, and that was just a huge step in my life. Michael and Annie led us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, believing for signs, miracles, and wonders. Didn't know any of that existed, never heard any teaching on that beforehand. They led us to Haiti. We did 10 trips. I did 10 trips. I think maybe we did 12 or 13 total short-term trips to Haiti as a church. And that just really grabbed hold of my life. Like the first time I went, God was like, you're going to be a missionary here in Haiti. And came back and tried to figure out what that meant. So I was studying engineering at UW-Milwaukee. And through prayer and some leadership counseling and stuff, we all agreed that God was saying, yeah, you don't have to continue your college education to be a missionary in Haiti. He's equipped you. He's called you. And then along the way, Kirsten showed up in Milwaukee. She moved up to the area because her older brother moved here, and she was a nursing graduate and found our little church and just felt like we were her people and got involved, went to Haiti, same thing. God was like, you're going to be a missionary here. And so both of us planning to move to Haiti as individuals in different parts of the country doing different things. But then God finally revealed to me, actually my eyes were finally opened. Everyone else knew that we were supposed to be married. But I caught up with the plan and asked if she would marry me. And that happened real quick. So thankful for him bringing us together and that we got to do this together. Family has been one of the foundations of what we do in our ministry, and growing our family in Haiti has been such an awesome privilege. So cool for them to experience life like that. I could keep talking about that, but we got to get into Cornerstone Haiti. So he's so good. Yeah.
Go ahead with our. Yeah. So we will be celebrating 10 years in October of being in Haiti. Oh, yeah. Yes, praise God for that. It's been such a wild, beautiful ride. And the thing that we just are in continual awe of is just how real and present God is and what a good father he is. And that, like, man, for both of us, Jesus has just captured us, all of us. And so, and more with every year, we just keep getting to say yes to him. And we live with a yes on our heart for whatever it is God is asking of us. And I just would challenge you, like, oh man, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Abundant life is found in him and only him. And that, like, and he asks us to give all that we are, and in return we get all that he is. And it is like this death, this constant death to self. And on the other side is always life. Always. That is what God does. That is who he is. He is true life. So just like, oh, you guys, say yes to him. Say yes to him. Keep saying yes to him. Whether you're 30 or you're 70 or you're 80, like, keep saying yes to him. So yeah, Cornerstone Haiti, the three aspects of our vision are developing Christ-centered community, educating generational leaders, and cultivating economic growth in our very small mountain village of Gouacheval, Haiti. You can go to the next slide. Oh, this is you.
Yeah, if you've heard of Haiti in the news at all, it's all bad stuff. So we'll just briefly mention some of that. The majority, even though that's all you hear, right, there's 11 million people there, and most of them want to live peaceably. Most of them want to get to work. Most of them want to send their kids to school. Thanks, Jake. Yeah, before we dive in, we've got some prayer cards. We've got a commitment card and then a information card that they're going to pass out. You can grab and think about that as we talk, see how God would connect you with us as we move forward. Living there, obviously being in the midst of people, there are generalizations, there's things that you hear from the news, but then being face-to-face with people, it's always a different story. Being in Guocheval, face-to-face with our community, most of the people, like, they hate the things that the gangs are doing, they hate the things that the government's doing, and it's such a small percentage of the country that make the country a rough and difficult place to live. There's no functioning government, and the police are not able to gain control. There's no remaining elected officials. The president was assassinated July of 21, and now the prime minister is ruling by decree. He's not cooperating with really anyone and just kind of wants to keep doing what he's doing because he's getting money. Over 80% of the capital city run by gangs, so there are small pockets that the police still protect, one being the airport, the U.S. Embassy, as well as some neighborhoods where all the rich government people live. Food insecurity and inflation are destroying lives. Just so many terrible reports by UNICEF, the UN, like 50% of the kids are malnourished in the country, and people can't find food for what money they have. It's like really hard, difficult space to live. Go to the next slide, please. Missions in Haiti have been affected in a lot of different ways, like with all the violence and roads being run by gangs and stuff. There's kidnappings, there's violence happening. Different missions have been affected different ways. So some places in Haiti, they've had to send all their foreign workers home, and they're left with their Haitian nationals. Maybe they were ready for that, maybe they weren't. Some of them, their compounds have been overrun by gangs, and the gangs are operating out of old mission compounds. Some of them, like some of our close friends, live right next to the airport, and they're able to still operate their bed and breakfast, along with their ministry to City Soleil in the darkest slums of Port-au-Prince. And then us, we are in a favorable position. We are on the Black Star there in the southeast of Haiti. Generally. So we haven't been able to travel to Port-au-Prince for the last... Does that help? For the last 2.5 years. Thank you. Our normal supply area and grocery stores would be Port-au-Prince, so we haven't traveled that for the last almost 3 years now. But where the purple star is, on the southern coast, there's a land crossing, and that's where we've crossed into the Dominican Republic. And then it's a whole different world. There's paved roads, there's police, there's like things that are in order. So that's nice, and we're thankful for that route that God's given us. So we can fly into Santo Domingo, we can travel to that border city either by truck, car, or airplane. This last couple times I've taken a small plane and then a taxi to the border. Sometimes when it rains a lot, like in June, you cross the land border through a river, and that's like up to your waist, and you have to put your shoes in your backpack and pay someone to carry your duffel bag over. So that was exciting, adventurous, and if your truck's not running, which we had issues with our brakes, then you have to take public transport after that, which ended up taking about 7 hours to get from border to the house, including the last 2 hours on a motorcycle getting rained on. But it's fun, and the whole family wasn't along, so it was doable. go to the next slide. I cover, got all those.
Yeah, and like Jesse mentioned, so we left Haiti in the very end of September, and then we took a 3-month sabbatical, and we were planning to go back in January. God just flipped the whole story. And so then our family has not been back since then. So it's, yeah, when we get back home in September, it'll have been almost a year that me and the kiddos haven't been home. But Jesse has been able to go back. He went back in January, March, and then June. So yeah, he's been having lots of adventures for sure. So with the first aspect of our vision, developing Christ-centered community, this is foundational to everything that we do as followers of Christ, because you can give people food, you can give them an education, you can give them clean water, access to water, healthcare, but at the end of their life, when they see Jesus face to face, which is a real day that is really going to happen, where we're going to see him face to face, like that's what's going to matter. And so for us as individuals, in marriage, in our family, we just want to, yeah, just proclaim Christ in our school, in our service projects, in everything. We want to show people who Jesus is and introduce them to him and encourage them that he's better than anything. So our discipleship is really with our school team. That's the picture there. We do life with this group of people, and it is hard and wonderful and messy and beautiful and really, really hard. But praise God for what he is doing, because it's all about relationship, you know? Like, you can do big projects and you can build buildings, but, like, Jesus came to restore the heart of people to the Father. It's all about people. It's all about our hearts connecting with him, being transformed from the inside out. Right? The gospel. And so that takes work and building relationship and repenting when you do something wrong. And it's been, which is just not something you do in Haiti as a leader. So as Jesse has been leading our team, it's been beautiful to see how, like, when he makes a mistake, he says he's sorry. And our team just has not known what to do with that humility and that, yeah, that repentance. But it's, like, been so beautiful to see growth. And, like, what our assistant director, Jesse, was asking them what they needed prayer for. And he was like, I need to be more humble. And this may not seem like a big deal, but it's like, I'm sorry, excuse me? Like, you're asking God to make you more like Jesus in humility? And it was just beautiful and exciting. And just, yeah, just fruit, like, where people want to look more like Jesus. You can go to the next slide. And so we partner with a local church. So, as you know, keeping Christ at the center, Pastor Marcus has been leading this church for over 30 years. And hi, this is Benjamin, our 7-year-old. And yeah, sandals are right there. So we partner with a church. So there's church services going on. Our team, they do prayer meetings throughout the week and going out into the community. They do, evangelism, all of that kind of thing. It's our team doing this. You can go to the next slide. And then also with giving water to the community. So there's rainy season and dry season. And we finished a 70,000-gallon community water cistern like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And so this is a beautiful way to provide for the community a physical need and also connecting it to the church and to Jesus, who is the living water. So those are just the different ways, as well, just through everyday life and being with people, that we are keeping Christ at the center and developing Christ-centered community.
Yeah, 2 years into living there, God led us to begin a school. You can go to the next slide. Cornerstone School of Truth. We were able to model it after some other missionaries, and they helped us so much get started. But just feeling God's heart for the generations to come, the ministry we were trying to do with pastors and leaders of churches, being new to the country and culture and language, there were a lot of brick walls established that were just seemed insurmountable. And God led us to start this school and begin forming the hearts of the children. He's a generational God. And we're not leaving behind the adults. As we minister and lead kids, then it seems like that's produced a lot more fruit in our team and our church, and in the adults, as we've just exemplified the gospel and led these kids into the love of Christ. Because God wants us to all remain as children, and as they see God work in the kids' hearts. They're like, wow, like I remember being that way at one point, and I need to get back to that. So go to the next slide. Just some stats of the school. We started in September 2016 with 25 students, preschoolers, so 2 years old through 5 years old. We welcomed with 16 members, including Kirsten and myself. So it was just four other women from the church that we saw loved their kids and had a heart for Jesus. And now in 23, 119 students, preschool through fifth grade, and 29 team members. Once we heard God say that and open it, we found all these new connections. There were so many people who helped, like from building the buildings to people signing up as godparents to provide all the stuff we need for food and school resources, books and pencils, paper, all that stuff that is not common in any of the schools near us. Like all the students who go to school to other places, they are packed in a room, 40, 50 kids with one teacher, several grades, and pretty much no supplies or materials. So it's been a joy to welcome in families. A handful of them, I would say, are really passionate about being involved in their kids' lives, the parents. We get to have parent meetings where we share the gospel, where we teach parents how important their relationship is with their kids. A reason why we take them at 2 years old is because the home life of these kids is so sad. Not to say that like there's no nurturing mothers, but they just don't have the time or the resources like most of us have here in America, where you can read books to your kids or you help them with their schoolwork. You have toys and different things at home. Like, none of these families have that. So bringing the two-year-olds in, like, gets them their minds awakening. And you can just see a couple months into school every year that these kids come to life. A lot of them are malnourished at home, so they're getting fed every day. And then they're having playtime. They feel like they're in a safe environment. They get a nap in the afternoon. It's just the presence of God is so wonderful for these kids. So... go ahead to the next slide. Our teachers, we got a couple pictures of students, so fifth graders, go ahead to the next one, some preschoolers on their coloring pages, next slide, playing outside, it's all gravel, but they have space for soccer and jump ropes and hopscotch, all that stuff. And then we have our teachers, right? I tried to read that, but. Like Kirsten mentioned, you saw it in the video and then the other picture, that table in the morning, we have morning meeting with our teachers. And that's just, it's been such an awesome place where we pray, we worship every morning before school, and we have a mini devotional time. And just hearing their hearts, being able to teach the Bible, encourage them, and give them hope for what they're doing. Like, they're valued as teachers. They are forming these kids as they raise them in the love of God. I always encourage them to put God first in the classroom. Like, we're an obvious Christian school where if students are in a fight or they're having trouble with each other, like, that's the priority. Let's fix relationship. Let's talk about forgiveness and realize how to love each other and grow together. And then we'll get back to the math and reading and writing. Go ahead to the next slide. We've been able to do professional training for our teachers. Like I said, we don't have a university that we pull teachers out of and pay huge salaries. We have local church members or friends and family who have about an average of a sixth grade education. So we've hired a curriculum director who does have a university degree, and he's been our teacher trainer for the last 2 years, just bringing a lot of wisdom, a lot of help in lesson preparation, and then providing certificates, which every Haitian loves a certificate. Next slide. We've been able to have eight or nine laptops come in, and just teaching our teachers how to open a laptop, turn it on, use Microsoft Word. A lot of them get their materials for their class and they print them for the week. So teaching them all of that has been hard and fun. I love it. I love seeing people learn and experience new things. And they're super excited about it. Like, they know that's important for their future. This year we're doing our best to implement a tech class for our students as well. Our fifth and sixth graders is our hope, so that they can get their hands on computers, learn how to use the internet and research and stuff that way. Good. We also do English class. Go ahead to the next one. Okay, and that's the next one. English. We haven't taught a lot of English, but everyone loves it, so we do what we can. Walmy, Pastor Marcus's son, he's been leading the English class while we're gone, and he's doing great. We try to provide them with resources. They are hopeful that we will have teams and visitors come to Haiti once again. It's been so long, and that's a big part of what makes it hard for us, is that not having people come to see with fresh eyes, encourage, and stir up vision. When we're in the daily grind of just being there, we just see all the stuff that isn't going well and needs to be fixed, or we're not doing good enough. So obviously God is there to encourage us, and he keeps us going. But yeah, having visitors, if I ask you to pray for one thing, like peace for Haiti so that people can come in and out again. Cultivating economic growth primarily is through the school right now. We have vision for the future to get back into agricultural work and stuff. But our teachers who are teachers, janitors, cooks, security guards, all sorts of stuff, part-time workers, we'll get into that. But just, yeah, that income for these families is an overflowed blessing. Like when one family is being provided for, they have enough and they have a surplus, their community gets the rest. They don't like open a 401k and start putting money away. It's like, oh, we have neighbors who aren't eating, so we get to feed them now. Do you want to just share about Sonit?
Sonit, who is one of my closest friends there, and she is just like, oh man, so foundational in everything that we're doing, her and her husband. She was saying just what joy it is that when people come to her house in need, that she has to give. And she's like, I don't have to tell them this is a loan, you need to pay me back. It's like I can give it and just let it go. And that has brought her so much joy and excitement. And then she's definitely in the center of all of these different community projects that our team, so they get a 13th month of salary. That's just what you do in Haiti. And so our team has decided that for their 13th month salary, they do a project for the community. So they have built a house for one of our students' families. And this summer, they have another house project that they are in works for. And that is like, that's not us. That is the overflow of providing work, providing jobs. And then they're like, with this income, I'm helping my family and I'm helping my neighbors. And it is just this, it is challenging for us when we see that, you know, where it's like, oh God, help us be more generous. Because like, oh yeah, again, it's about people and hearts. And it's so wonderful to see our team being so instrumental in generosity of like finances and heart in our community of Gaucheville.
Yeah, and these numbers, 19 full-time employees, 8 part-time, and then about 30 seasonal. Cornerstone School of Truth has become just a shining light, an institution in the community that brings hope. For the past 2 years, we were able to do a parade. You saw some of those clips on the video, and that's for Flag Day, May 18th. It's kind of like an Independence Day. And just the masses of people that would come out to come and observe and be a part of this exciting thing that's happening has been, like, we've become more aware of that, how foundational this school has become to the community, where we can't reach everyone. We can't take kids from every family, but there's such an overflow. Same thing with the students. Like, we hear stories of students going home, and our second grade students are helping their fifth grade brothers and sisters with their homework. And just bringing the knowledge and education to the neighborhood and community at large. So go ahead to the next one. Seasonal work. Man, we've had a lot of cool buildings go up. It's been fun to be a part of. This is work on a path to our outhouse, which that outhouse is a huge blessing. Our old one was like real close to the kitchen, and you have a lot of students, and it's just a pit in the ground. So we're further away. We've got 8 stalls. There's like 4 small ones for kids. It's just a really nice outhouse.
And then, far from
Yeah. They're concrete forms. So at our house, this is an improvement. 2 years ago, we have a flushable toilet at our house. But yeah, these seasonal jobs that come along, these guys work hard. You can go to the next slide. They move rocks and earth just with their backs and shovels and wheelbarrows. And they get their paycheck at the end of the week, and they're so pumped. They're excited to have something for their family, to move along their hopes and aspirations in life. Next slide. We also do farming every year now, so we've got a decent size farmland in the back of the school, and just providing labor. We haven't like made any money. We have a little bit of food for the school, and then we about break even. But people have worked, and they've been able to have a little extra cash. So we'll talk about that later. Go ahead to the next slide. Sorry.
I'm just going to share a couple testimonies that just give, just praise God for what he's doing. So Shama is on the left. She is one of our fifth graders, and she's been with us for all 7 years of the school. So she started out as a preschool 3 student. And on the right is her mother, Magdala. So Shama's household is a house that is devil worshippers, very involved in voodoo, going to do sacrifices. Like, it's not a question of if the spiritual realm is real. Like, it's real. There's angels, there's demons, there's the Holy Spirit, there's evil spirits. But the question is, who do you choose to follow? So in Shama's household, they have chosen to follow the devil. But not Shama. Shama has been at our school, and Sonit and Delta and so many other of the women have really brought her under their wing and have just loved her and welcomed them into their homes, welcomed her into church. And she gave her life to Jesus and is now following Jesus, our Shama. Praise God for salvation. So beautiful. In January, thanks for the extra clap. In January, Shama's mom came to her and was like, Shama, we're going to go up and do our normal sacrifices on the mountain. Come with us. I know you're following Jesus now, but just come with us. Hold the baby. You don't have to do anything, but we need you for your younger siblings. And as a fifth grader, she took a stand and was like, Mom, I follow Jesus now. I want nothing to do with this devil worship. I'm not coming. If you guys go, I'm going to my friend Leah's house. So as a fifth grader, and her mom's like, okay, whatever. So her parents left, went up to the mountain. Shama stayed behind. And yeah, just, oh my gosh, this is a fifth grader, you guys. They did their thing, came back down. When Jesse was back in March, he was at the church service, and in comes Magdala, which Magdala does not come to church unless it is a parent meeting, and that's pretty much it. Otherwise, she does not want to be anywhere near the church or church people. She gets up during the worship and gets in front of everyone, is like, I have seen Shama's life. I have seen how Jesus has changed her. I don't want anything to do with these demons anymore. I want to choose to follow Jesus. And I'm not just 1 foot in, I'm both feet in. So she's like, I'm not going to be one foot with the devil and 1 foot with Jesus, but all in with Jesus. And like, she's coming to church, and like, we're praying for her husband because he's a drunk and, you know, still worships demons. But it's like, this is the whole reason we're doing the school, where these kiddos have access to their parents, to neighbors, to family. And when they come and they have an encounter with Jesus and their heart is changed, then they become missionaries to their families, to their neighbors. Like, when you are changed by Jesus, you are a missionary to your families, to your neighbors. No matter where you are now an ambassador of the kingdom of God. That is your identity in Christ. And like, we get to help our students see that, and we're seeing fruit, you guys. Like, there's fruit. You can go to the next slide. And then another testimony, this is Sitwain and Woodsy. Sitwain is in the white and Woodsy is in the yellow? Yellow. These two young men we met when they were 7 and 8, which means they are now 17 and 18, and they are not little boys, they are men, and it's very strange, and they have very deep voices. But ever since they were about 10 and 9, I would say, Since Jesse started getting power tools, he has been teaching them how to use power tools and how to build and how to construct. And he's also been just a godly man for them to look up to, where a lot of men are either absent or just angry all the time. Like, Jesse treats them with respect and honor and teaches them with patience and love. And he shows them how to treat a wife. He shows them how to treat kids. And it's just this life on life learning that these boys have gotten to do with Jesse. And it's, you're amazing. So you see this roof here. This is our fifth and sixth grade roof. And these two young men taught two of their other friends how to work power tools. And the four of them did 80% of the work on this roof, while Jesse made the plan, and then he showed it to them and would check up on them. But that is like groundbreaking for us, because our hope is that Jesse will be able to just give them a project, give them the tools, the supplies, and they just do the whole thing. So it's like we're getting there, and that's really exciting. Also, we had windows that we had ordered for this school building last June. They arrived in May, and then these two guys installed all of them. Like, Jesse got there and was like, oh, they're all in. And they're like, yeah, you told us windows were coming, so we just put them all in for you. And it's like, what is this life right now? Because our goal is to work ourselves out of a job, you know, like that they get to take ownership and have authority over the school. And it's happening, and it's so beautiful. And then on top of that, Woodsy had called Jesse a couple months ago and was like, I want to get baptized. Like, I've had three dreams about it. I want to get baptized. I want to follow Jesus. So he started like a little WhatsApp Bible study with him and Citoyen, and we are like itching to get back in September for him to be able to really dive deep with them. God is so good and is doing so much. You can go to the next slide. And then what's next for us as a family, our desire and what we're pursuing is going back as a family in September. So we'll finish off all the travel and fundraising and updates, and then head back to Florida the very end of August, spend a couple weeks there, and then head back home to Haiti. Our hope is to now spend school years in Haiti, summers in Florida, which is our new little landing space. So that is our hope. We're praying that is the reality that we come to find in September. And when we get there, finishing the school buildings, establishing sixth grade, and then just continuing to do what God has called us to do in the mundane, in the hard, living life with people, loving Jesus, loving our neighbor, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was talking about vision for the future. We didn't put it in our presentation because it just felt like too much, but I feel like as we're getting closer, like, we're just going to eventually get there. Kirsten's taking steps towards her midwifery license, certificate. Do you need a certificate? But we had a family help us purchase some land, so we have another chunk of land, which eventually will be women's health clinic. Infant through five-year-old is the vision to educate and help in that area of life. There's just so much lack of knowledge and people dying, kids dying, women dying unnecessarily because they don't know. So that's in the future, some point, maybe soon, maybe later, God knows. And then jumping back into farming and agriculture things, I've been able to dabble in coffee and honey production, chickens and eggs, and different types of farming techniques. Say again?
I just wonder which came first.
I don't know. I wasn't there. So all that to branch into more economic development, to create sustainable income for people. God gave us the power to create wealth, and we just want to ignite that. We want to stir that up and be bridge makers for people to jump into their identity as children of God, who shouldn't just be subsistence farming, but should be creating and have enough for their family and those around them. So, yeah, you can partner with us. We're thankful for your partnership as Cornerstone Lake Country. For those of you who are godparents, so thankful for the team that God has knit together. For the most part, Kirsten and myself have not had to do like formal fundraising, which we are so thankful for. We're not very good at that kind of fundraising. We're relational, and we like telling stories. And when God puts on people's heart to be a part of it, that's how it's been provided for. But yeah, we always love inviting people to join the opportunity, to have the opportunity to give, because we're seeing fruit. Like, we know what God has called us to do there is powerful for the kingdom, and it will benefit anyone who partakes. He wants us to be generous. He wants us to give sacrificially. Right? You know that here at Cornerstone, obviously. But I was just reading again in 1 Timothy 6 the other day, and how easy it is for us. Like, we've been in the States now for 8-9 months, something. And our prayer when we first came back was like, God, help us keep living by faith the same way we do in Haiti. There's just so many systems. There's so many things that make you feel safe here. And it's all just so surface level. And we want to encourage you to break through that. Like, it's a waste of your mental and spiritual capacity to rely on the systems of the world. And we need to fight. We need to fight to keep our reliance on Jesus, to ask him what our next step of faith is. Like, you don't have to look like the world to be full of wisdom and the truth of God. But when you follow his ways, like we've been able to experience it, there's so many decisions we've made as a result of prayer and other counsel from people. And a lot of other people are just thinking we're crazy and foolish and we're going to crash and burn. But we didn't, because God kept us from burning. And so we want to keep that alive. We want to keep living that way until he calls us home or comes back for us. And so to be a part of Cornerstone Haiti, we have, obviously, you pray for us. You can become a godparent. You can support one of these students at school. $50 a month pays for everything we're doing with them, pays the salaries for the teachers, 2 meals a day at school, helps us upkeep the facilities and all the school materials. As well as partner with us as a missionary family, keeping us living there and being able to be in country, encouraging and strengthening our team, and then jumping into these next ventures that God has for us. So our monthly support, we are looking to raise another 22,000 some. We just had another person jump on, so I don't have the exact number, 2,500 in monthly commitments. So wherever you're at, if that's $50 a month or $500 a month, just take a minute to ask God. And we have learned to not relate to people about their money. Like, I feel like a lot of people might think about the ministries that come through or the advertisements they're sent, and they just want your money. We want your money if God's telling you to give us your money. If not, keep it. Give it to someone else. Put it where it should go. But live a life of sacrifice is the most important thing, so that Jesus is number one in whatever you're doing. Yeah. And then we'll end again with Ephesians 3, last slide, 20-21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, guys. I don't know.